This is the Monday night edition of Butch, Dave, and Friends, presented by the Game Sports Show and powered by the Game Entertainment and Media. Butch, Dave, and Friends is a podcasted show sponsored by Flawless Roofing, Sure Seal Incorporated, and the Sport Displays, discussing the best local, regional, and national sports coverage you can hear. As you are familiar with our Monday night live radio edition of the game since 2015, the Game Sports Show continues to be the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show with this continued version of Monday night of the game. Make sure you follow the Game Sports Show for not only Butch, Dave, and Friends content, but all content of the game powered by TGEM. Now let's get to our Monday edition of the game with hosts David McKaig Jr., founder of the Game Sports Show and president of the Game Entertainment Media, and Butch Davis, well-known reporter and journalist, and longtime member with the Game Sports Show, and podcast host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. Booyah, and welcome to Butch, Dave, and Friends, presented by the Game Sports Show, powered by the Game Entertainment and Media. It is your host, David McKaig Jr., bringing you the very first episode of Butch, Dave, and Friends here on the Game Sports Show. This is our Monday edition of the Game Sports Show, and this is the show that you have come to know and love for so many years, and that is from 2015 to present day, where you have heard Monday nights of the Game Sports Show on both live radio and podcasted. Now, Butch, Dave, and Friends will be the new title for the current future of the Monday night editions of the Game Sports Show and will only be podcasted at this time. The Butch, Dave, and Friends episodes are sponsored by Flawless Roofing, Sure Seal Incorporated, as well as the Sport Displays. You can check them out on thegamesportshow.com through the sponsor page or at the bottom of all the pages for clickable advertisements to be directed to their social medias or websites. Again, Flawless Roofing, Sure Seal Incorporated, and the Sport Displays. And again, Butch, Dave, and Friends, the Monday night edition of the Game Sports Show. And as always, the Game Sports Show, the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. I want to get through some housekeeping items before I dive into the content in this first segment. As I did mention just a few moments ago, this is the new Monday edition of the Game Sports Show. And as I have mentioned on the recent announcement upload that you can check out from last week on all platforms of the game, this will be our Monday edition going forward for the near future, and it will be podcasted only at this time. We will not be on live radio at this time, and I will not be, nor will Butch be, or any members of the Game Sports Show be answering any questions in regards to the live radio, as we are still determining what that is going to look like in the future. But at this time, we want to make sure that we bring you the usual content of the Game Sports Show, both from local, regional, national sports perspective, with following the same format that you have become to love so much. And this is a new position for me with this show. Obviously, that's to say it how it is. Of course, our late friend and good friend of yours truly, and also very good friend of Butch and all of us here on the Game Sports Show, Game Entertainment Media, and just through your airwaves, Scott Nason, whom suddenly passed away September the 29th, 2022. You can hear two absolutely heartfelt and probably the most toughest shows that I've ever had to do be uploaded from the 1400 AM edition of the show, and also that would be the Game Sports Show USA version of the Scott Nason Memorial Show. We also had a part two from the Canadian side of the border, the Scott Nason Memorial Show for the Game Sports Show Canada, that you can check out as well. That is on all platforms, and a lot of stories were shared there by many of Scott's close friends, as well as co-hosts and panel members through both shows, through the American side and the Canadian side. And as I mentioned, this show is going to be following a format that you are familiar with. It won't be changed by yours truly or Butch Davis or anybody who comes on this show. You're going to hear local news, You're going to hear regional news and national news, as I've already said repeatedly. And when we're talking about local, for anybody that is outside of the normal game, sports show, and the game, entertainment, and media regions, that is going to be the Algoma region, which is the Sault Ste. Marie. You can look at Blind River. You can reach out to the Elliott Lake. You can reach out to the Echo Bay, Thessalon, whatever you can think of from the Algoma region, most notably in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, as well as the Michigan side through the EUP from Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, all the way up to Detroit. So when we're talking about local, we're going to be talking within those regions. If you would like your own region, if you're outside of that jurisdiction, please reach out and we will talk about you. We want to give love to all area sports and great sports stories. When it comes to regional, again, it's going to be talking about these core areas, but we might even reach out in terms of provincial or in that particular state of either Ontario or Michigan. And of course, national is outside of the provinces and outside of the countries. It could be Canada, US, or we could talk about over in Europe. We could talk about South America. Either way, we talk everything that is the key notes in sports. But I want to make sure I remind everyone that the local side will be talking on the local organizations that you do know. And then when it comes to the other two sides, especially the national, Butch and myself are just going to be going off on all things you love to hear. Okay. Now, Butch, Dave, and Friends. You're going to be wondering, okay, why Butch, Dave, and Friends? We had a slight change in our title because we are going with a new format of the Game Sports Show and the Game Entertainment and Media. The Game Sports Show has had this plan for just about the full calendar year to proceed with a new format in the vision of yours truly and Scott Nason. We will be following through with that, with the Game Sports Show following this particular network format. Then, of course, the Game Entertainment Media, which, of course, I started in January 2020 and officially launched in January 2022 to the public. You can check out the YouTube page. It is still hasn't been fully announced to the public, but we got four categorized podcasts on there that you can check out. If you are doing a podcast, it doesn't matter where you are. If you're in Sault Ste. Marie or if you're outside of Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, and or Michigan, if you're doing a podcast or just overall want to start a podcast, I can help you. But main thing is TGM will air that for you. No charge. You just send us your content and we air it on there for you. We want to be a categorized community for our podcast platform. That is TGM. Again, check out the website for that. But we have formats that we are following for both the Game Sports Show and TGM, and we're finally excited to have that go through for you. And of course, a part of the plan was always to be the live radio edition of the Monday nights of the Game Sports Show and podcasted as well. So obviously we had a unexpected change to alter here on our Monday shows, and we haven't had an upload since September the 26th, 2022. So it has been just under 3 months since you've had a Monday night show of the game, but we finally have it lifted off. And the adjustment, of course, is that I will be hosting and Butch will be also hosting. There'll be two hosts on the show, but the Friends part of the show is going to be where we have friends join us on the show from time to time. Friends that you already have come to know and friends just in general for an interview. We do plan to have EJ Russell, who is one of the four original horsemen. We have members of the Game Sports Show that may come in and assist where we're needed, depending on what's necessary. However, the main part of the Friends part is for EJ Russell, but also for our interviewed guests that we're going to be doing locally. So again, the Friends part is for local guests and for EJ Russell to join us more than just other staff of the Game Sports Show or the Game Entertainment and Media. When it comes to hearing myself with other members of the game and with TGEM, that's another show that I will be doing a big announcement for after Christmas. So stay tuned for that. So speaking of Butch, Dave, and Friends, I want to make sure that I remind you that that is supposed to be a temporary title. Butch and I want you to make up a title for us. We want you to give your opinions on what you think what would be a good title for Butch and myself, or if we keep it the same. It has to be a title, and then it's presented by the Game Sports Show, powered by the Game Entertainment Media. So maybe there'll be a contest announced, or maybe if you give us a name, maybe there'll be a prize waiting for you on behalf of TGSS and TGEM. Again, Butch, Dave, and Friends taking over for the Monday night title of the Game Sports Show that you have come to love through the Game Sports Show USA on live radio since, let me state it again, 2015. I'm glad to be back with the show. We're already 9 minutes in. We have lots to get into here. These shows are going to be 1 hour in length every Monday. That will be myself and Butch, or one of us, or both of us will be the plan that will be running the show with the friends that we talked about. Again, that's 1 hour podcasted version at this time that we'll be doing with Butch, Dave, and friends. This is the first part of the show, okay? And of course, I give a shout out again to Flawless Roofing Insurance Deal Incorporated and The Sport Displays for being sponsors of the Game Sports Show and the Game Entertainment and Media. The first part of the show will be, as you've known, talking local sports. In the second segment, we'll have Butch Davis from Butch on Sports. Simply Butch, come on the show to talk with yours truly. Mostly for the first segment, there'd be interviews with local guests, then yours truly with Scott Nace. In the second hour, would be Scott and Butch. And before that second hour even started, Butch would be there right before that second hour started. So we're still following what you've come to know and love, as I've said numerous times. And I want to talk local sports. And what I'm going to talk about here is I am going to dive a little bit into Sioux, Michigan when it comes to LSSU, but as well as Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario sports, something that maybe didn't get talked about as much outside of the NOJHL. So we're going to talk both sides, and as the weeks go on, either side of the border might get more or may get less. Either way, we'll make sure that we are going to be talking local sports when it is happening here on this Monday night edition of the Game Sports Show, Butch, Dave, and Friends. Sponsored by Flawless Roofing, Sure Sale, Corporate, and The Sport Displays. When it comes to local, I'm going to be talking about the NOJHL. I'm going to be talking about Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan's side of the border, in particular with LSSU basketball, men's basketball in particular. So I want to talk about the NOJHL first. So I'm going to go over to their first little update peek at the standings of the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League. In the west side, you got the Greater Sudbury Cubs in first place by a pretty good margin, 25-4-2, 52 points. Blind River and the Sioux Thunderbirds neck and neck for second and third place. Sioux Eagles in fourth place with 32 points. Espanola tied with the Sioux Eagles with 32 and Elliott Lake rounding out that standings on the west side of the NOJHL standings. On the east, you got Timmins Rock 49. You got Hearst with 48. Timmins leading the division with 22-5-3-2 record, 1 point ahead of Hearst in the same amount of games played. Powassan Voodoo 7 points behind. But then after that, you're looking at a landslide in terms of points there. No offense to Cochrane, French River, or Kirkland Lake. You got the Cochrane Crunch 6-25-1 for 13 points. French River 4-25. And Kirkland Lake 3-27-1 for 7 points. I know I didn't mention the Sioux Eagles and Sioux Thunderbirds record, so I'll make sure that I do that. 19-9-2-1 for 41 Sioux Eagles, 15-2-2 for 32. And as I mentioned, Sioux Thunderbirds were first. I got to give love to the Blind River Beavers, though, a little extra love there as they are in second place, closest to the Greater Sudbury Cubs with 27-2-2 record. For Espanola and Elliott Lake, it's 14-11-2-2 and 12-15-1-1 respectively. You have teams there in the West, Sudbury, Blind River, the Thunderbirds, and Eagles have all been in close proximity for how many years now? And I know when myself and Scott would talk about it, is that the way the teams are built for each program, you got Blind River that has that tenacious type attitude, but has skill. They've added skill, and it's a program that has greatly improved. The Thunderbirds are always on top. T-Bot. Okay, I've heard the Beavers have taken a little bit of that acronym for their own little twist, but the Thunderbirds, obviously, those question marks at the start of the season, they have come back and they've battled. They made some moves in the season. They're on a 5-game winning streak. They're 7-2-1 in their past 10 games. The Eagles are .500, and the Blind River Beavers 6-3-1 in their past 10 games. And what stands out to me big time here is the goals for and against per team. Sudbury is doing really, really impressive. But the Thunderbirds have improved in that area as the season has went on. And overall, the Thunderbirds, Beavers, and Eagles, whoever plays each other in a playoff series, it's going to be exciting. But Sudbury is having quite the impressive season. And for the last few years, they've been underneath the Thunderbirds. They've been underneath Blind River, and this program has now come up to be top in the western side. You have upcoming in the NOJHL, you got games on the calendars this week, but if you're looking at the Sioux Thunderbirds side of things, or Blind River Beavers, you got the Sioux Thunderbirds playing this upcoming Wednesday against Elliott Lake, and there's games also going into the weekend, okay? And those games in particular, though, between the Sault Ste. Marie, they play Blind River on December the 17th. If you're also looking for Blind River, besides that game on Saturday, they are playing Friday in Elliott Lake. The Sioux Eagles are also in action this week. They are playing Saturday against the Elliott Lake Red Wings. That is at Polar Stadium. And they are playing in Espanola on Sunday at 2 o'clock. That's a Sunday, December 18th. And the Saturday puck drop is at 7 o'clock sharp. So that's for the Blind River Beavers, Sioux Thunderbirds, and Sioux Eagles games this upcoming week. You can check out NOJHL.com for full statistics, standings, and for start times. And obviously check out the Fast Hockey Links. You know, they do a great job both getting you the streaming that you require so you don't miss the game if you can't make it in person. But if you can make it in person, it's a good outing. I know it's holiday season, but get out and support the local hockey organizations. Going to transition now to Lakers men's basketball as they fell to NMU this past Sunday. They actually, with this year, playing against Northern Michigan Wildcats, who had a pretty good record this year. They lost 87-72, did the Lake Superior State University men's basketball team. And the Wildcats came out in the second half just hot on a 10-0 run. Okay, and the Lakers did counter in the game with a 7-2 run to cut the lead down to 8 going into some timeout action. But the Wildcats were able to pull back ahead with the lead at that point, 61-45, and they just did not look back. The Lakers did give a lot of pushback in this game, but the Wildcats ultimately holding on to the victory. And for the Lakers, notable player Caden Eberle played a big part in the game. He led the way offensively with 23 points, but he did struggle at the free throw line, and also some other players to stake out. CJ Robinson and also Kingsley Perkins, where they had 12 and 10 points respectively. The Lakers will actually look to bounce back this upcoming Saturday, December the 17th, as they travel to Quincy, Illinois for the Hanson Spear Funeral Home Classic with a pair of games against Southwest Baptist and hosts Quincy University, with tip-off for the first game being 1 o'clock Central Standard Time. Quick shout-out to EUPnews.com, something that Scott was really involved in. You can check them out for some more news and updates for reactions from that game or any game for the Lakers side for write-ups. On the EUPnews.com, the write-ups would be about the Lake Superior State University, the Sioux Eagles, AAA hockey, and you name it. Just check it out at EUPnews.com. Due to time, we're going to be transitioning from the local side of the Michigan side of the border for local news and go back to the Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario side and talk about the Ontario Hockey League. And I want to just give quick thing with the Ontario Hockey League. All right, there's a lot of talent in this league and a lot of good teams that are very exciting to watch, from the Ottawa 67s, the North Bay Battalion, to Saginaw Spirit, the London Knights, obviously doing what the London Knights do. But obviously the team that we talk about a lot here on the Game Sports, and particularly what we'll be talking about more with Butch, Dave, and friends, the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, who are currently 7th in the Western Conference, one game under 500, 10-11, 4-4 for 28 points. And they're a little bit behind, of course, Sonia. This is a year for the Hounds that maybe have been a little bit of a transition. At the beginning of the year, I thought maybe this would be a team that would be more in the middle of the pack. Watching this team play, I wouldn't be surprised as the year goes on that they look to make more moves and bring in some more younger talent. That has been the way of this organization, and it's been a very exciting organization to watch ever since the Kyle Dubas era has been here. And for the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds currently, when you look at their roster, they have a team that has talent from top to bottom, and I think they have good goaltending as well. Samuel Ivanov, you can look at Charlie Schnuckel. There's talent on the D side of the puck. There's talent up front. This team could truly be doing better than what it is. Like, look at Andrew Gibson. He's among four players selected for 2023 Kubota CHL NHL Top Prospects game. Those are players that are being looked at heavily by scouts in the National Hockey League. Obviously, it's in the title. And if you're looking at this team, you're looking at a team, okay, well, do they have their identity? Okay, you got Bryce McConnell-Barker leading the team right now in points. You got Tyler Savard, who is, you know, showing a lot like what his dad would play in terms of his playmaking ability. And it goes down, like right now from a goaltending perspective, yeah, as I mentioned, the goaltending is actually pretty talented with Ivanov and Schnickel, but their numbers do not show that. And Charlie has played better from a save percentage perspective, but the more wins have come from Samuel. And those are just the pains that come with being a team that is still looking for that identity. It's like the way that Coach Dean has mentioned, they laid an egg. And that was against the Oshawa Generals. But then they bounced back on Sunday against Owen Sound winning 4-3. So a good response there. But when you look at the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, I feel like they just haven't lived up to the potential that they could. Owen Sound's a fourth-place team in the Western Conference. They're above the Hounds. But the Hounds played a good game on the road against them. And when you look at what the Hounds can maybe do, are they, like I said, a team that's going to finish top in the standings? No, this isn't the team that can do that, but they are better than what their record has stated. But I'm kind of curious to see what they're going to do as the season goes on, if that identity is going to be found, if they're going to start climbing the standings a little bit more. But it's like how Tyler Safar said, and you can check this out on SueGrounds.com, the way they beat Owen Sound, I think we outworked them. We were the better team, and I thought we were dominant on the physical side of things. Those are key components. If you can outwork a team and be physical with them, finish your checks, be tenacious on the puck, that is the identity that the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, I think, could find, because they have talent that could put puck in the net, but if they can be speedy, if they can be athletic, that, and if the goalie can steal a game or two, that could be the difference of being higher up in the standings and maybe even being more effective in the playoffs if, of course, they can get there. But as I said moments ago, I'm kind of excited to see if they aren't that team that can get that identity, if what they're going to be doing next. And I don't think it's a bad idea to make some moves and trade off more of the veteran side of things and look at the more of the future while you look at grooming more of this youth to continue having a successful program, as the Greyhounds have been quite successful, as I mentioned, since the Kyle Dubas era. The Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds are in action this upcoming weekend. That is Friday in Kitchener at 7:30. That is Saturday, December the 17th, 2 o'clock against Guelph. And then they are off for the Christmas break, and they don't return to December the 28th. And, of course, you can check out all those games on Rock 101 with Jerry Linscomb Jr. Little side news as well. I want to make sure that I bring up, and this happened almost a handful of days ago now, so a little bit of older news, but the Sioux Greyhounds did make a trade with the North Bay Battalion for a fourth-round draft pick, sending defenseman Luke Brzezinski over to the North Bay Battalion. This wasn't really a secret. There's a lot of rumors that he was gaining a lot of interest from teams in the Ontario Hockey League. And obviously they came on down to North Bay being the team that they wanted to make the deal with. Another side note, the Canadian World Junior team was announced today as well. Shane Wright, Connor Bedard, Dylan Gunther being some notable names on there, but also Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario native Jack Mateer was also named to be on the team, and he is a former Sault Thunderbird. He played a game in the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League, and now with the Ottawa 67s, he's in his third season, having a pretty impressive season. He is a fourth round pick, 124th overall by the Predators in the 2021 draft. Big defenseman, is having a great year in Ottawa, and he was down to be a defenseman for the World Junior team for Canada. You can check out that roster as it was uploaded and announced by TSN. Congratulations to Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario native Jack Mateer for being named to the Canadian World Junior roster. Well, 22 minutes has just already flown by, and yes, there's a little bit of extra time that I anticipated, and we got to allow some time for Butch, because I have a feeling that that's going to go a little longer. This show might be a little bit above an hour, but hey, it's the first episode of Butch, Dave, and Friends, our first Monday show in almost 3 months to be exact. And as I said at the beginning, we're glad to be back. And there's a lot to get to in this first part of the show. I had to give some housekeeping items. I had to touch on some local news. And as the show goes on, there will be more local content provided with the Sault Ste. Marie and Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, Algoma, and UP, Michigan regions. My last shout out I'm going to give, that I've given on multiple occasions on In the Pocket editions, as well as I've given on social medias, to Core Colts school football team for Pete at OFSA. Awesome stuff. Very excited to have Tom added on here, either for this show or a future In the Pocket edition. And a shout out to high school hockey here in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Everyone now should know, based on shows, that I am helping back in the coaching realm. I haven't coached since I was assistant coach of the Blinder Beavers in the NOJHL, where I coached fresh out of plane for a year and a half. And ever since then, it's been a decade now since I've been coaching. I am now with the Cora Colts high school team doing coaching. So I won't be talking too much about the high school side just for conflict of interest, but just for sake of reporting news. There was a game today, December the 12th. The Cora Colts played against St. Mary's College, and the St. Mary's College Knights did come out on top with a 6-3 win. That game was at the John Rhodes Community Center. There are games upcoming in the high school realm that you can check out. You can also reach out to the Game Sports Show for that information. But there is a game Wednesday at the John Rhodes Community Center, 3:30 to 5:00. That is Cora Colts against St. Mary's College once again. And at this current time, there will be a game on Friday as well at 7:30 between Cora and Superior Heights. And that is also at the John Rhodes Community Center in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. We're going to take a quick break here on Butch, Dave, and Friends, the Monday night edition of the Game Sports Show. We're going to hear a couple commercials. And once we get back from those commercials, we'll have Butch Davis join us from all the way in Detroit, talking Detroit sports, talking World Cup. We're going to get into a few fun things in the second portion of our Monday edition of the game. Don't go anywhere.
Sports fans, hang those team jerseys or other collectibles in style with help from the guys at thesportdisplays.com as they have you covered. Thesportdisplays.com. Hang it, display it, or show it off with the jersey mount. The jersey mount is an affordable, easy to install, and kick-ass way to decorate your man cave, dorm, home, or office. Went to a totally badass concert and want to show off some of your memorabilia? Yeah, the jersey mount can help you with that. Or how about that wrestling pay-per-view event or live show you recently went to and you want to show off that wrestling collectible in style? The jersey mount can help you with that. Or you want to represent your favorite sports team? The jersey mount has you covered. Installation is so fast and so easy, and the best part, you won't damage your wall. Pick up your jersey mount today over at thesportdisplays.com. Hang it, display it, or show it off with the jersey mount at thesportdisplays.com. Get yours today at thesportdisplays.com. Thesportdisplays.com. One more time, thesportdisplays.com.
Are you an athlete in need of a boost in funds? Could you use $10,000 to help you this year? Raised Fundraising is here to help. By working with the people who already support you, you're going to use the powerful tool of social media with our guidance to get your message, your story, and your inspiration out. Not just for your friends and families and supporters to support you, but for them to connect with everyone they know so they can hear and believe in your story. Now, when you're making your post, just follow what we say and the guidance we give you. This is a great product. It helps the sports fan. The money's collected online, no in-person money collected, no products to drop off. Raised Fundraising. Book your consultation today.
Are you hunting for a solution for your commercial or residential rooftop? Well, don't look any further than Flawless Roofing SureSeal Incorporated. You can check out Flawless Roofing SureSeal Incorporated at flawlessroofing.ca. You can also check them out on Facebook. Yes, on Facebook as well, under Flawless Roofing SureSeal Incorporated. Flawless Roofing SureSeal Incorporated has been in operation since 2012 and offers superior roofing solutions for both commercial and residential rooftops. Owner and operator Daniel Felice prides himself on working with only the top-of-the-line materials, including Lexcon and Lexcor products. With over 30 years of experience in the roofing industry, Flawless Roofing provides exceptional roofing solutions and is sure to exceed your expectations. Also, currently, Flawless Roofing is one of the few recognized EPDM installers in Northern Ontario. Check out their website, that's flawlessroofing.ca. Check out, again, their website, flawlessroofing.ca, or check them out on Facebook, Flawless Roofing SureSeal Incorporated. Incorporated. You can contact them at 705-943-1777. Flawless Roofing Sure Seal Incorporated, offering superior roofing solutions for both commercial and residential rooftops. Flawless Roofing. Protect your investments. Start at the top. And welcome back to Butch, Dave, and Friends here on the very first edition of Butch, Dave, and Friends. And I am joined by the one and only Butch Davis. Butch, my friend, how's it going?
Yeah, you can call me simply Butch here, but that's okay. Hey, I'm okay, Dave. How yourself doing?
Oh, simply put, Butch, I'm doing great, pun intended. So, Butch, you know, it's... As I talked about in the beginning of the show, I gave us the introductions and, you know, it's great to have our Monday recordings back. It's a little bit different, obviously, for who's talking on what end here. But you know what? We're still going to bring the great electrifying content that we always bring. And, you know, we got lots to get to. You and I have not been able to chat sports in quite some time. Even before September, I think, we haven't been able to connect and talk too much sports. So we got lots of sports to get to. I want to go to you first, okay? And before I go to you, I want to make sure I give a quick shout-out to Flawless Roofing, Sure Seal, and Inc. here in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. You can check out their links through the website, www.thegainsportsshow.com. Butch, I want you to take it away with talking about the Lions. I was very excited to talk to you about the Lions because I want to say it. The Lions are looking good. They're looking for real, Butch. They're looking great to watch right now. It's exciting times. You know, yeah, they're not 10-3, are they? You know, they're not a top team in the NFL by any means, but they're making it interesting and they're great to watch.
Yeah, well, it's good to be able to talk about the Lions winning instead of losing there. That is something that you can't get used to here, right quick here. But again, the Lions are winning instead of losing. I've always said that it was never the athletes on the team there for the Detroit Lions. It was always the coaching. And as soon as they got rid of a coach or two, things started popping up there. I don't know if that was a rescue call there or something that just put a bug in everybody's rug, but the Lions are doing very, very well indeed there. What surprised me dearly here is early in the week, everyone said that the Lions are favored by 2 over a 10-2 team, which is the Minnesota Vikings there. And I can see why many of the bettors or whatever may be said, hey, the Lions are going to win, and they did. They showed a great, great game there. It started off with the Minnesota Vikings going down the field, marching down, and the Vikings had to go out for fourth down and 1, and the Lions caught him in their cooler there. He stuffed Dalvin Cook on the 4th-and-1 middle play. Now, the Lions get the ball, and on the second play there, the rookie of the Detroit Lions, Jameson Williams, just blew down the doggone field. Jeff Goff throws it to him, and the young man gets his first catch as a professional football player. It was a 41-yard pass to him. The place was on the nut. I mean, it was loud in there, boy.
Fourth field was buzzing.
Oh, yeah, very, very pleasant indeed there. But that was the beginning of a pretty doggone good game. Minnesota, they kind of fought back and tied the score. But after that, the Lions continued to put their will on the team by continually scoring touchdowns after touchdown there. They scored in every quarter of the game. I think the positive frame of mind was the second quarter when Detroit defense came to work and kind of stuffed some things for whatever it's worth. The big play I feel in the game was on a punt situation where Detroit was ready to punt, but again, they faked the punt and gained 42 yards down the field. And Dan Campbell has been very successful with that as a head coach there. He is 6 out of 7 on fake punts there. So that average I would keep in there. In addition, the Lions have scored in 9 straight quarters dating back to week number 12. So putting all that together, I can see why the reporters and everybody, the fans included there, saying that the Lions are doing one heck of a job there and got everybody frantic. Seattle lost yesterday, so that puts Lions in the bucket of things there, as they will play the New York Jets next week in New York. It'll be their second time at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. But again, Seattle has a task because they're going to play the San Francisco Giants, not the San Francisco Giants per se, but the 49ers. I'm thinking baseball here. But, but that's going to be a task. But the game is in Seattle, where the crowd is just as loud as the Detroit Lions crowd. And it's going to be somewhat a memorable affair for next Sunday's game, and really and truly here for us Lion fans. And again, I'm a reporter. I go in there with a non-partial attitude. But again, deep down, I'm a Detroit Lions fan. I'm glad to see the Detroit Lions are doing something that they haven't done in a very long time. That's win some ball games there.
You know what? It's the 6-7 record. People are like, well, why are people getting excited? Listen, if anyone has been a Lions fan, and people know that I'm not, just by watching and listening to our In the Pocket segment, the Lions are just an exciting team to watch right now, and how they've battled in the last couple weeks. And I want to ask you, Butch, because they played the Vikings, and there's people being in the area, to St. Marie's, to Michigan, Detroit, Michigan, Algoma region, wherever way you want to look, there's a lot of Lions fans, okay? The Lions fans definitely rule in this area, as well as the Green Bay Packers. Those are the two common teams in this area, and in the Sioux, those are the two teams. And believe it or not,
you mentioned that there.
and the third team, believe it or not, in the Sioux region is actually the Steelers. People don't know that. But fun fact, the people are chirping on social media today. People that I follow, different sports figures that I follow, say, oh, the Lions beat the worst 10-2 team in NFL history. I want people to pump the brakes with that on my own comment before I go to you. Kirk Cousins just threw two TDs for 425 yards. He actually did not play a bad football game. The rushing game for the Vikings, 15 carries, 23 yards for Dalvin Cook and a touchdown. That ain't going to win you games. That's an impressive stat. But what was a big part of the game was actually receiving, where Justin Jefferson was catching everything that Kirk Cousins was throwing at him, except he didn't catch a touchdown. So the I got to ask you, Butch, though, is everyone that is looking at this Lions football team and saying, hey, pump the brakes, or 6-7, or why are we getting so excited? They just beat a team that are the worst 10-2, now 10-3 team in the NFL history, which I think is a very big stretch. I think saying NFL history, that's a lot of years to cover, okay, for teams that have been good records. Are the Vikings truly not as good as they're saying, or do the Lions just show that they can keep up with the big dogs?
The Vikings are that good. Come on. Let's not kid ourselves there. 10-2 record there. That it takes some doing to get that record here. And they haven't just played bad teams. The Vikings have played some very good teams there. Yeah. Other than the game they played against the Dallas Cowboys here, the Vikings have been a totally very good team there. They got a pretty doggone good defense. Their offense especially when it comes down to throwing the ball, has been very great. Dalvin Cook is a better runner, and that was the big surprise. I think the big effort yesterday that they was not able to utilize Dalvin Cook as he normally should, because he is a big-time back there. And, again, he did not show up. The Lions had him stuffed for many, many occasions there yesterday, being that they couldn't use him at his full flex as they normally do. That was a good thing. I don't think it's that the Minnesota Vikings are a bad team per se there. It's just something that the reporters and the people who don't have no brains just want something to talk about there. The Lions beat a very good team yesterday in the Minnesota Vikings. They're not that bad at all there. No. It's just the point right now that the Lions offense right now is seem like it's been clicking in all cylinders. And really and truly, all season long, the Lions offense has always been clicking. The biggest problem we've had so far so good this season, especially in the early part of that season there, is the Lions defense have not been up to task there. Lions have had many games where they were ahead, or they had tied the game, or had come back, and the defense has not been able to withhold them. Now the defense is doing their job and basically showing up withholding the other team at bay there, giving the Lions an excellent chance of winning. And so far, so good. 5 out of 6 games so far, they have done very well.
They have done amazing. You know what, Butch? I had a very interesting stat that I wanted to bring to people. Okay, the Lions have been doing really successful, and somebody who's actually been doing really successful, and I'd like to see it because I want to say the word that has been transferred around this individual has been the word the hate, because it's a lot of criticism. Okay, a lot of times where fans are like, oh well, you know, okay, we traded Stafford and we got Jared Goff. So yes, I'm talking about Jared Goff. Do you recall? Because I want listeners, see if you can. I'm going to give listeners maybe a second to be able to answer this before I answer it. The last game where Jared Goff has thrown an interception. I'm giving them 1 second while I talk here. Now it's probably, actually it's 5 seconds. I've given you 5 times that. The last time Jared Goff, and I know Butch will correct me if I'm wrong because I haven't noted, the last time he threw an interception was against the Green Bay Packers, November the 6th. Okay, that is a month ago plus. He has thrown over 1,300 yards since he has thrown a touchdown. Is there other quarterbacks have similar stats throughout this year? Sure. I don't have them all at my fingertips to look right now. But Jared Goff has actually been a pretty big part to Lions' success the past few weeks. Yes, they lost to the Bills in between that. They beat the Bears, they beat the Giants, they beat the Jags, and they just beat the Vikings. The only team they've lost to in the last 5 weeks is the Buffalo Bills, whom were my Super Bowl favorites this year. So,
and they should have won that game, too.
They should have won that game. And Jared Goff, that game, threw two touchdowns and had a pretty good completion to a temp rate, 23-37. But I'm getting off the point. I have these noted where he's thrown 1,300 yards. I believe the exact number is 1,311 is the amount that he has thrown without throwing an interception. And to not throw an interception in a handful of games, Butch, that's a recipe that's going to help you bring success. If your offensive line can cover you, you can throw the ball, and your defense can hold out the games, your team is going to start seeing a lot of W's. And that's why the Lions have been more successful since their loss against the Dolphins back on October the 30th and their awful loss against the Cowboys when they lost 24-6 back on the 23rd. And there's been worse losses, just like the Patriots 29-0 loss back on October the 9th. But now I'm grabbing things and grabbing at straws here months and months ago. We are in the future here, and the Lions are looking strong. But you got to agree, Goff has done a pretty good job.
Well, Goff has done a pretty good job, but again, the surrounding cast around him has done just as well as a job. They're not making mistakes. They're catching the ball instead of dropping the ball. They're basically blocking when they wasn't missing blocks. They're pulling off plays where basically those plays were not working out for them. They're doing things that basically complements Jeff Goff, and people don't, you know, they forget that this is a guy who's already been to the Super Bowl at a very young age. So it's not a point that this guy don't know how to lead and don't know how to win. It's that the complementary parts around him, okay, we're talking about receivers, we're talking about running backs, we're talking about the linemen in sync. The Detroit Lions running offensive line is one of the best lines in the NFL, and people are finding that out very seriously now there. So I think it's not the point of Jared Goff not doing this job. He always have. I think the surrounding pieces and parts are not making the mistakes, and he's not making the mistakes or forcing issues where the Lions have to get in a bunch of trouble there.
Definitely. Now, the Detroit Lions, as Butch has stated, do play this upcoming Sunday. That's December the 18th, 1 o'clock kickoff against the Jets. And as we proceed, it's coming down to the nitty-gritty of the season. We're getting towards the conclusion. And as of right now, the Lions sit second in the NFC North. And for those that are Green Bay Packers fans, let me give you where you are in the standings. You're below the Lions. You're 5-8, and that's not a jab. Don't think it is. And as if anyone going to the third favorite team in the local community, the Pittsburgh Steelers are 5-8 after a tough week against the Ravens this past week.
Still, the Lions, that last game of the season is going to have to mean a whole heck of a lot, because they're going to meet them same Green Bay Packers, who have not had a very good season so far, so good. And they may not have Aaron Rodgers in there. They may have someone else leading the pack there. Yep. So that's going to be a very important game. We get, believe it or not, that last game of the season. So, again, if the Lions keep doing what they're doing, and I do believe there's four more games to play, and they win on out of that, they still got to go to Green Bay and show their oats there. And that is not a very easy place to show your oats there. Although the Lions have been, a couple of years now, very successful in Green Bay.
150%, Butch. Now, we're going to transition, is what I should say. I almost said transfer. Transition, a much better word to use, to our next point that we want to get to. Before we talk the Detroit Tigers, I'll make sure to remind listeners to hit like, follow, and subscribe on the TGM Network YouTube channel. Not yet fully marketed, but it is fully launched, and we have more content coming to the TGM Network YouTube channel. And a special shout-out to The Sport Displays. Check out thesportdisplays.com. This is Butch, Dave, and friends back with our Monday edition of the Game Sports Show, podcasted here all over platforms of the game. Now, Butch, let's talk about the Tigers here. It's very, I love talking about baseball. We have a baseball segment on our show on the, I should say, the umbrella of the Game Sports Show. It is called Strike Zone. And we haven't had an episode of that for over a month and a half, maybe even a month. I probably stretched a little bit there. And the co-host on that show from with yours truly is a very big Tigers fan, as he has a little love for the Jays. You know, we talk about the Jays and Tigers a lot on the show, given our reason, but we talk, or region, sorry. We talk every team on the show, of course, on all shows, if it's Strike Zone or if it's, say, Butch, Dave, and Friends or whatever show we talk about all teams equally. But you are, my friend, in close proximity, of course, of the Detroit Tigers. And one thing that I know about the Tigers is that they're upgrading their LED lighting system at Comerica Park. Now, I know you probably have more news to talk about more than that, but I saw a thing on Detroit News that they are installing 472, is I think that's the number that I saw, new light fixtures at Comerica Park. I was just at Comerica Park this past summer. I saw Gabriel Moreno's first hit with the Jays as the Tigers actually beat the Jays in that game. And very beautiful ballpark, Butch. But the Tigers this year, they're making a little bit of noise, if you will, on the winter meetings. And they're not saying it's a rebuild, more like a retool. But heck, even though the team is getting some repairs, even the field's getting repairs, my friend.
Yeah, well, early this morning, we were able to see a slew full of helicopters lifting the lights off the rafters there, parking in the parking lot as they make this switch of lighting system there. That's going to take until about February when they get back again. Come back, lift these lights up, and place them in the places they need to be. They get LED lighting now. Now, some of the stadium fans probably have seen where maybe a home run is hit, or maybe the pregame ceremonies or the postgame ceremonies, they're able to shut on and off the lights. And if you know lighting very well in stadiums and whatnot, when they cut on the lights, it takes a little bit long to kind of get the juice flowing in them before they illuminate. I'll use that word, illuminate, fully there. And this time, what the LED lights will do is it basically allow the Detroit Tigers staff, when they want to do special occasions and whatnot, to kind of flicker the lights and put on light shows and whatever it may be. I still love the firecrackers and whatnot, which Detroit Tigers don't do. They have the water fountain, as you know, Dave, in center field that they kind of explain, and a little bitty cauldron of lighting at the roof of the stadium there. But this is something very big that they trying to modernize and come up to speed and maybe bring the fans closer into it there. I call it what it's called. It's called to me hype. it's a little bit of hype.
A little bit of hype.
Hype the fans after they drunk 4 or 5 beers and 8, 10 or 11 hot dogs or something.
Great hot dogs.
Oh, yeah. But you can smell them down the road a piece here. But again, this is, to me, maybe with the Detroit Tigers, it's a major upgrade. But again, with the person from the outside looking in, it's a minor upgrade there because, again, there are many stadiums now have the LED lighting there. let's say one stadium that does have it was it's a stadium in Toronto. Okay, they have LED lighting there. They can flicker the lights on and off like you're flicking on the switch going to the bathroom and whatnot.
Rogers Center is very beautiful with that light, and they're getting renovations as well too. They're getting huge renovations right now, and they're going to enhance that lighting system. I don't know how you're going to do that, how make it any better, but every stadium's doing it now, and even the, I think the Mets when they have Diaz come out, when Diaz comes out, they have the lights and they have his nacho song that he has that really
caught. The LA Dodgers have it.
Yeah.
San Francisco does that. Houston Stadium has that particular thing where they can flicker the lights on and off there. Again, stadiums are coming up to par with that. The ones who are not, I guess they're investing the money, which has cost a little pretty penny there to change some bulbs there. But again, hopefully it's worth it in the end. And it gives that hype, as I say, to the fans and getting them excited about a baseball team. And they can do a lot more other things during the post and pregame ceremonies with it there.
For sure. Now, I want to. The last point I want to bring up about the Tigers is that this is a young, exciting team, in my opinion. You got Riley Green, Spencer Thorkelson. I have a hidden feeling for Spencer. The kid's going to be a stud, you know. And they battled some injuries this year, the rotation wise, and there's questions about AJ Hinch. There's always questions when it comes to a team. I think the Tigers have a very bright future, Butch. And going into this offseason, it's still early. There's still lots of time to go in the offseason, but obviously the winter meetings have come and go. But what is your feedback on the Tigers overall, or what are you hearing in terms of what they still might do? I'm hearing Justin Turner's an option. I'm hearing every person's an option for either the Jays or the Tigers because of where they're at and they're taking the next step. And the Tigers haven't won a World Series in 1984. The Jays obviously since 93. I was 2 when the Jays won, and I wasn't born when the Tigers won at last, to be honest. So what are the Tigers doing to get to that next step, Butch?
When I was living in Portland, Oregon, when the Tigers won the last World Series, that was in 84 there. plain and simple there. I talked to one of their moves today, when they acquired third baseman, cornerman, outfielder, Justin Henry Malloy, and also Jake Hickenbotham from the Atlanta Braves just recently for Joe Jimenez, which is goodbye and have a nice trip down to Atlanta. That's my feelings on the whole situation. This young man has a lot of excitement going on there. He's a heck of a, what you call, a patient hitter there. When I say patient hitter there, he makes contacts such as Riley Green. There's not too much ifs and whats in his style of play there. Will he hit a lot of home runs? Maybe down the road a piece there. But right now, the Tigers are missing players that make contact, okay? Make contact on the ball and keep innings going. Make it rough on the pitchers. Not so much just swinging and missing at balls, but making contact on balls. Making the pitcher work, you know, take a pitcher through maybe 4 to 11 pitches in a tour, which is very unheard of, again, but it can be done. Your better hitters will take a pitcher through a spill. And the Tigers don't have that right now. They have a lot of hitters right now who basically try to nail the fences. And I think with the stadium that Comerica Park, and you've been in there, it's not a small park such as Baltimore or maybe in Toronto. Toronto, you have a better feel of knocking a home run out of that park than you would at Comerica Park. It's just plain and simple there. Comerica Park is a big park. And you got to contour your players toward that particular park, and they use the park fully for what it is. Do I like the park first and foremost? No, I think the park should have been a dome stadium there, or a stadium such as maybe Minute Maid Field, where the roof would open and close up, because early in the year in Detroit, it is cold. Mm-hmm. And basically you're waiting to maybe May or June in order to have an enjoyable time at the ballpark there. The rest of the time, you're either wearing a raincoat, you're wearing a winter coat, or you're buckled down from head to toe trying to stay warm and whatnot. And that is the feeling right now that the Detroit Tigers got to look into down the road a piece there, besides putting the lights and whatnot there. Those lights have heaters and whatnot. I can see it. But again, no stadium has lights that's going to heat the field up where you're you're a nice little toasty person on the field waiting for a fly ball in the 30-degree weather and whatnot. But again, the Tigers players got to do some things that they haven't done in the past, and that is make a pitcher work. And right now they're getting players right now who basically contours Comerica Park as far as hitting, as far as keeping drives going on, and also pitchers who are doing more than five innings of work here. And I know that analytics come into play for a lot of managers there, but again, a good pitcher wants to complete the game from start to finish, and the Tigers just don't have that type of pitcher right now.
No, and there's lots of offseason left, but it remains to be seen what else will be done for both the Tigers, if you want to throw the Jays in there, or any other teams for that matter, as some teams have already thrown out some big, big cash, and that is the Padres. The list goes on. Boston still even throwing out some money. Obviously, Judge got paid and went somewhere where I didn't expect. I thought he was truly going to leave the Yankees, especially after getting booed off the field.
Xander Bogart, 11 years for $280 million here. That's unheard of. And then you just spoke on a point that really and truly I think people got to take a watch on here. Owners are not putting in the work when it comes down to signing a player for long term. You're going to see a lot of 1 and 2 year contracts this year, basically, maybe an option in between there. But I mean, owners are just not doing it anymore, exception toward the rule toward those super players that you just mentioned there. But again, the norm is now to sign a player maybe for 1 or 2 years, and that's it, okay? And right now, that is a huge change in Major League Baseball right now.
It is, and that's where I thought with Aaron Judge, truly, that he would leave and go to San Francisco, because after getting booed off the field for his performance in the playoffs, I don't know why he'd want to go back. But something about that pinstripes, I guess. Something about the pinstripes.
Yeah, something about the pinstripes, something about the cash. And, you know, it costs a lot to move. You know what I'm saying here? So maybe it will all work out. And again, there is a trade clause in his contract. So basically right now, the Yankees down the road a piece, don't be surprised if they don't make a move in order to satisfy if something goes wrong in New York.
Oh, you know, as a Jays fan, or even if you're a Red Sox or Orioles or Rays fan, that's music to the ears, because
exactly. The
evil empire itself, the New York Yankees. Now, Butch, we only have a couple minutes, but we have enough time to talk about the World Cup. We've talked about the Lions and Tigers, and boy, may I remind everyone that it feels great to be back on these Monday editions. It has been a long time coming, obviously, of course, the unfortunate circumstances of mine and Butch's very close friend. We took the time necessary. We wanted to bring this show back and to talk Detroit sports. Nobody probably knew that I could talk about Detroit sports, but little did I. Hopefully, I surprised them here tonight. But we got one more topic we plan to get to. And, of course, this is Butch, Dave, and Friends, Monday edition of presented by, I should say, the Gain Sports Show, powered by the Game Entertainment Media. Again, special shout out to Flawless Roofing, Sure Seal Incorporated. Check out thegainsportsshow.com for a direct link to their social media and website. I want to get into Qatar here, Butch, and of course, we have our full-time edition that's presented by the Gain Sports Show, Daniel Scarpino and Gaetano Gallo, where they talk everything in the world of soccer, and they've done a tremendous job giving reaction with the World Cup to date and some local news. But, of course, we have the semifinals starting tomorrow, okay, and the full-time upload, I know Daniel and Gaetano have done different schedules, but it's supposed to be every Thursday that they do an upload. So I don't anticipate an upload to be featured tomorrow prior to the game. So you probably won't see an upload until after the semifinals are completed and that the finals are determined. And you got Argentina, Croatia tomorrow at 2:00 is kickoff. And for the semifinals for France and the Miracle Morocco, their name is not Morocco, it's Miracle Morocco right now, Wednesday, December the 14th at 2:00. Butch, I'm going to give you the floor on a little bit of World Cup action before we wrap up today's first episode return on our Mondays.
Well, truly, I didn't see it coming here. I did not see Portugal going a little further. I did not see England not going a little further. I mean, they shot themselves in the foot in both of those particular cases, though, both those teams, and that's why they're not there. As far as Argentina and Croatia, which will be the show tomorrow around about, if you're in the Eastern time zone, it'll be the exact game will start around about 2 o'clock here. But here's the deal here. Argentina is not sitting pretty either, okay? And Croatia is a team right now that can eliminate them with a snap of a finger. What will Messi do? How much Messi will come into play? I know they like to hype that guy up 110%, but there's other players on Argentina as well who should be watched and should be watched very carefully there. So, again, here we go with the hype again there with Argentina and Croatia there. And it's to me, it's just watch and see, okay? Watch and see what actually happened. Sometimes people say soccer can be a boring game, but if you're really kind of pace yourself and watch soccer for what it truly is, or football, as they call it, okay, over in Europe, it can be an incredible game to watch there with the patience going into it there. So I'm going to say, and I'm not a betting man, but I'm going to say Argentina and Croatia is going to be the main game. I know France and Morocco, and we get to that particular game, that'll be the next game on Wednesday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, going full steam ahead there. A lot of people are going to be voting for Morocco, not France, who basically right now has a chance to go back-to-back in the World Cup. And that's not happened in quite some time since Brazil and some of the teams there in South America. But, whew, this is going to be something worthwhile watching. I'm kind of getting myself ready, set, and go on the particular situation. I'm going to say Morocco, although they're the underdog right now, like the Detroit Lions has been for the majority of seasons past, I'm going to say Morocco might give France a do-drop-in type of house call there when it comes down to their game on Wednesday.
Honestly, and I didn't think at all. Obviously, I would have liked seeing Canada, you know, get a win in the World Cup, but to see them get them this far, that'd be just a pipe dream. I feel France, you got to think, Butch, that France is just going to overpower Morocco, right? Like, I just feel like that there's no way this miracle can live. But you know what? If I'm a betting guy, and I'm not, I truly am not. I'm not someone who's on any betting app or betting because I just don't want to do that. But I almost want to believe in the Morocco magic, the miracle Morocco. I don't think they're going to. I'm telling fans and listeners of the show and soccer fans or football fans, whatever area of the globe that you're in tuning in right now, that I don't think Morocco has a slight chance to win that football game. But for me to say that, maybe it's a little bit naive. Maybe I'm a little foolish to say that because look what they have done up to date. So, Butch, the last thing I'll say, Morocco getting a win over France. Is there at all a chance that it would happen? And would you bet on Morocco beating France? Like maybe I would, not just for the payout, but just for the bragging rights, say you believed in them this whole time.
Yeah. Why? Because right now Morocco's the best defensive team of those of the four.
Yeah.
Or of the three that we mentioned other than Morocco there. Morocco has not let people score on them at all, period.
Yep.
Morocco is uno, okay? Okay, so and nothing's going to stop them when it comes down to playing defense. They're the best defensive team in that setup of four there, okay, by far. They can give France the flux, okay? When I say the flux, France is very offensive-minded. They got players, Mopi and some other players that will give people absolute fits, and they're very fast going down the field and whatnot when it comes down to advancing. But Morocco defense is just so powerful, and they don't mind putting up the yellow cards and doing whatever it takes to keep someone from scoring on their goalie. So right now, don't think that France has it made in the shade there. If Morocco's defense show up like it should, it's going to be a shootout, okay? And when I say shootout, they'll be kicking at the goalies and after the 120th minute and doing their thing. And that's gonna determine who's gonna win and who's gonna go on Sunday afternoon for the Gold Cup. Yeah.
Oh, that is gonna be something. It adds. I can't believe the FIFA World Cup in Qatar has already come and go, and it's been amazing entertainment. You know, December, and from September to December, you get a lot of sports entertainment. You get hockey and basketball back. You got the football season, you know, back at it. You have the World Cup at this time. You know, 4 years from now, you're gonna have the World Cup in Canada, the States, and in Mexico. I believe the other spot.
And guess what? Canada doesn't have to qualify. The United States doesn't have to qualify, and Mexico do not have to qualify. They're automatically in.
No, and I kind of wish Canada would have won a game, you know, just to make it seem like a bit more of a that they deserve to be there. But let's remember the talent that they played against to get up to that point, and the progression that Canada as a country has made in soccer, right? And just to get a goal in the World
Cup.
It's
a learning curve, and they will get better. Canada is a very young team. Yeah. So in 4 years, we go look down the road a piece there, and should they be better? Yes, they should.
Yep.
Should the United States be better? Yes, they will.
Yep.
Do Mexico right now, who basically a lot of people had expectation with Mexico and their players. Will they be better? Yes, they will.
Yep.
So that's going to be some type of doggone hold on there when they come to South and North America for the World Cup down the road 4 years from now.
100%, Butch. Now, my friend, we went a little bit of extra time, but that's what else is new for us, firstly, and it wouldn't be Monday nights on the Game Sports Show that for the first episode in particular, Butch, Dave, and Friends, if we didn't go a little extra. But it's been a while, my friend. It's been the first time since I've been able to host with you, and it's been a great time, and I'm happy that you and I finally got this back up and running, and I'm sure the listeners and fans of both the Game Sports Show and Simply Butch on Sports, and also I should add a third thing, and their TGM fans are probably very excited to hear that we are back at it. And as I said at the beginning of the show, we will have an edition, of course, this week's being uploaded, but we'll have another edition next week. That will be December the 19th. And then Butch and I will have a little Christmas holiday. Yeah, you know, it's only a couple episodes in, but we're going to take a Christmas break. And when we come back, it'll be around the 9th of January at that time. So there's definitely a lot of things we're going to get to, and we got into as much as we can here, Butch, for this first edition. Before I do a final conclusion, do you have any final thoughts or any news, any kind of things you have going on this week? What can you talk about to our listeners on your behalf from a show perspective or final points before we wrap up?
Well, I'm glad we're back on. It's been a long time coming here, you know, and we lost a great friend in who we lost there, that this interruption took place, and we're able to mourn and get ourselves together and come back again. And long live Scott Mason there for his contributions toward what we're doing today there. But it wouldn't be complete without the show, longtime American journalist and soccer reporter Grant Walsh, who passed away on Friday while covering the World Cup there, 48 years old. Mm. He was covering the Argentina-Netherlands game at Lucille Stadium on Friday, and he seemingly got unconscious or was found unconscious there. I met this guy way in 2002 at the Palace in Auburn Hills there. And that same day, it was a 17-year-old kid sitting under the basket, under the North Basket, which was LeBron James there. So I got to meet this guy who was doing stuff for Sports Illustrated. And he was the most kindest, generous person you ever wanted to meet. And during that time, I was fresh in the neighborhood from coming from the West Coast, from Portland there, doing sports on a regular basis in the Detroit area in Michigan, and the professional scene included there. And it was people like Grant Walsh who made me feel at comfort at home. And I was very shocked to hear that his passing away, because he's so young. But again, it's a little bit more shocking to hear that we may hear more from this particular death, because there are many people saying there was some hanky-panky going on into this. This is the guy, by the way, a couple of weeks ago was stopped by a guardsman in Quetta, and because he was wearing a shirt of LBTQ support and whatnot there. And it's been widely widely talked about in regards to the LGBTQ medium in Ecuador there. So they did let him in. They did say, "I'm sorry," and that is official from Ecuador and also the World Cup there. But again, there's a lot of people feeling that there was some hanky-panky going on in here, and hopefully that was not. But again, it's so sad to hear that a person so young is gone from us, basically because of the contributions he's really made there. And we're pretty quite taken from that there.
100%. It's very shocking. It's sad. And the world is still in a position where we thought there was change, but there needs to be so, and I can say so a million times and it wouldn't be enough, much more change. And the Gain Sports Show here is proud to bring you as much entertainment news as we can, but we bring you the serious, we bring you the light, and we bring you the fun news, the best local, regional, and national sports that you can find. The Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, the Gain Sports Show in particular now, Butch, Dave and Friends, Monday night edition of the Gain Sports Show. It's a good ring to it. I had different names I shout out to Butch. And like I said at the beginning of the show, we may look at a title adjustment later on with you, the listeners, being involved. Butch did not like my other two options that I gave. So I'm happy we went in this direction. It has a better ring to it. Butch, my friend, I want to say thank you. There's a recent upload of Butch Davis. You can check out on thegainsportsshow.com. You can also check out on the Gain Sports
Show. Butch on Sports.
Butch on Sports as well. And of course, the Gain Sports sportshow.podbean.com, and you also check it on all the Gain Sports Show platforms. We are going into our website update going into January 2023, so there may be some hookups with our and mess ups with not mess ups that the word I should be using, but there'll be some updates with our platforms such as Apple and Spotify. So we appreciate your patience with that, but nonetheless, check out the website, check out Podbean, but most notably, check out Butch on Sports as well, as we got all that available to you, okay? Any content you want. We have uploads, over a handful of content uploaded per week here on the game. Nowhere else you need to turn for some great local, regional, national sports content. Butch, I want to say thank you, my friend, and we're going to be back here next Monday, though.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait.
Definitely. It's when time flies when you're having fun, my friend. Again, thank you to Butch. Thank you to all you, the listeners and viewers. We're happy to be back here on Mondays. Thank you to all the subscribers. If you haven't subscribed yet, make sure you have to the game and also to the TGM Network YouTube channel. And on behalf of Butch and all the family here of the Gain Sports Show and our first Monday night edition of Butch, Dave, and Friends, I'm here to remind you to keep your stick on the ice, swing your bats, catch your touchdowns, drain your threes, and shoot your shots. Booyah.